In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, the first Sunday after Pentecost, the day that makes holiness among the people, holiness among all those God created possible. Pentecost makes sainthood possible. To be holy with the holiness of God, not with our holiness, but to share His holiness as we are created to share His life. And remember that the fall was turning away from Him as the source of life, Him as the source of holiness, Him as the source of goodness, and turning toward the world, and trying to gain a life and a perfection of our own directly from the world He created. That is what broke our communion with God. And it took God coming into the world and destroying the power of death that had entered the world in order to make it possible for us to be holy by His holiness through Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son of God. A true, holy human life became possible. And this is the first Sunday after that Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the new creation of those who are reunited to God and His holiness and able to live lives of His perfection. That is the fullness of the Christian faith. And the proof of the Christian faith is the life of the saints. Today, on All Saints' Day, we remember all of the saints. All of the saints everywhere, of every culture, of every time, of every place, young and old, rich and poor, all of the saints, all one with one another, because they are one with God, all living from His life, all living a holiness that is His holiness. And as a consequence, the unique persons in each situation that God created are able to flower, because they are receiving the life that they need. That is the meaning of All Saints' Day. Ordinarily, this is a kind of an exception, you know, because Orthodox are very specific, very particular. When it comes to acknowledging someone who is proclaimed, recognized as a saint, every local Orthodox church recognizes the saints among them. Now, in America, a local church has a unique meaning. It might mean this building and those of us who come here. But in Orthodoxy, local means the Orthodox Church in America. And each local church, Greeks, Russians, Americans, all of us, we acknowledge our own saints because we are the ones who know them to be saints. So it's unusual for Orthodox to commemorate all of the saints together. It's an affirmation of the oneness with God that all of them share. It's an acknowledgement of the Catholicity of the Church. And Orthodox understand the original meaning of the word Catholic. It's not simply universal. The original meaning is that in every place, every church is of the whole, and the whole is in every church. Each church shares the wholeness and the fullness of the whole. And why is it that way? It's because of our relationship as human beings to God, that God restored to us our oneness with one another because we are one with Him through Christ and in Christ. It is His life, His perfection, His holiness that we live. And so the life that we find everywhere is always His life. Every part is part of the whole, and the whole is in every part. That's what it means for many to be part of the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the celebration of All Saints Day is a celebration of that oneness that we share with all, a oneness that is here with us. What is a saint? The word saint specifically and particularly means holy. We know that a saint is holy. But when we think of holiness, 9 times out of 10, we think of someone who is an exception to the general rule, the rest of us who are not holy, and we think we are being very humble by saying, well, I'm not holy. You know, I recognize St. Andrew or St. Matthew or St. Peter. They are saints because they're holy, they're perfect, they have achieved that perfection, and I am not. I am very humble before God because I don't have that holiness. It amounts to admitting that we are not Christians, because it's not something that we accomplish on our own, except by what we can accomplish, and that is by repentance. And we can accomplish repentance. We can accomplish turning away from living our lives with ourselves at the center of everything. We can do that. We are capable of repentance. And because we are capable of repentance, we are capable of sharing in the perfection of God Himself. Not focusing on ourselves, but living from Him. And that's what the saints are doing. It's a very strategic move to place the saints far above us and far away. Have nothing to do with us. And then we might even venerate their icons. And they're no threat to us, to our independent living of life that centers on ourselves, where our confidence is in the world and there is no repentance. But we have a special place for our faith, for our religion. We believe in it. But it isn't our life. I've been reading a very interesting short work by a monk on Mount Athos by the name of George on the Lord's Prayer. And he reminds us that our Orthodox Christian faith, the fullness of the Christian faith, is not an ideology. It's not a set of beliefs, a vision of the world. In separation from other possible visions of the world, it is not an ideology. It is not a philosophy. He says it's not even one of the religions of the world. It is the life that God has made possible for us to live. And those who have lived that life have often written about it. The gospel writers wrote about their experience of Christ Himself, and so we have the Gospels. An image, a likeness of Christ in words. But the truth is the life of Christ Himself. And the revelation of Christ is His witnesses, those who confess by living this new life and reveal that it is possible to live this new life. They are the witnesses. They are the confessors. There is no thing that is true that was not written by one of them. They are our primary resource after Christ Himself. The New Testament didn't come down from heaven already written. It wasn't whispered into the ears of a specially chosen prophet by an angel, as Islam claims of Muhammad. It was written by those who were living the new life that God had made possible through Christ and in Him, or they wouldn't have been able to write it. And that life is open to us as well. There's a priest in England applying a well-known saying by Dorotheus of Gaza that has to do with that story of someone passing the monastery and being not so sure about what was going up there because it was a strange place away from everyone else, and the passerby asked the monk, probably most of you know this story, what do they do up in that place? And the monk said, according to Dorotheus of Gaza, oh, we fall down and we get up again, we fall down and we get up again. And he is referring at the same time to two things. First of all, they do a lot of prostrations in that monastery. They fall down on their knees and on their faces before God and worship Him and repent of a life devoted to the world. And they get up again. And why do they fall down? To get up again. And what's the other meaning of it? The other meaning of it is that is the nature of the Christian life. Not just for monks, but for all of us. We slip, we fail. And we get up and we repent and we move on. We slip, we fail, we get up and we repent and we move on. That isn't how we would like for it to be. We would like an improvement program. We would like to be able to have some progress. Give me a chart where I can see that I'm making some, you know, on the last year or 5 years ago I was here, and now I'm up here, I'm getting some progress here. It's not the same as fall down and get up again. And Father George even mentions, he says, that the difference between Christianity and the pagan philosophies is that their goal was to improve people, to gain some improvement along that chart. What is the goal of the Christian faith? Theosis. To be one with God. To share in His divinity. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Do you think you can accomplish it by a self-development program? You can't. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Only God is good. Only God is perfect." The saints live from His goodness and His perfection. And Father Andrew in England uses that story to make this simple point. The moral of the story, almost. What is the difference between us and the saints? The saints, whenever they miss the mark, whenever they sin, because sin means to miss the mark, that's the translation. To sin means to miss the mark. To miss the mark of the perfection of God. To miss the mark of living our life in Christ and being bearers of Christ. That's what it means to sin. That's what it's always meant, because we were created in the image and likeness of God, fell and lost that calling, and it was restored to us, but in Christ. Not to each one of us in isolation, but in Christ. And that means along with all of the rest of us. Not in isolation, but in Christ. The saints, whenever they miss the mark, they never cease to repent, to get up again, and to move on. And they are moving into the holiness of God. And the rest of us, we give up. This is too hard. This Orthodox faith, it demands too much. Give me some of that, what Lewis used to call Christianity and water. Christianity and water, that's much better. You know, a little mixed drink. The straight stuff is too strong for me. I'd like a little Christian cocktail thing. Not the straight stuff. But only the straight stuff is Christianity. The cocktail's already been mixed. God mixed it, and Jesus Christ is that mixture, except that that's not really the truth of it. He's not a mixture. He really is the one who is fully God and fully man, the one who says, "I am the way. Enter by me." And if we don't enter, we're not Christians. It doesn't mean, and we don't get to cop out by saying, "Well, I can't accomplish the perfection. I can't fulfill all of the demands of the fast. I can't tithe fully. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm just going to stay away, keep my distance for a while." I'm Orthodox. I believe it. It is my doctrine. It is my dogma. It is the ideology that I believe in. But I'm living over here. No. That's not it. We're kidding ourselves. We're living the same way it was possible to live before God became incarnate. We're living the same way it was possible to live before He died on the cross, arose from the dead, sent the Holy Spirit, recreated the new creation, and made it possible to live by Him. So we don't get to cop out by saying, "I can't do it," because it isn't I who has to do it. All I have to do is repent. We don't have to keep the fast as a monk in the desert would keep it. We just have to try. We just have to get up and move forward, dealing with the reality of whatever condition in which we happen to find ourselves. Most of us have families. Most of us have children. Believe me, my children aren't starting at home, but I still have children. And our situation is different than that of a monk in a monastery. And so our fasting is different, but the goal, the intention, the movement is the same. And it takes awareness to deal with the realities of the situation. It's the same thing in every walk, in every aspect of practical life, whether it's financial responsibilities or whatever they are. But we don't get to come up with what I used to call the permanent excuse. The permanent excuse. I don't do this because what? Because I can't fully accomplish it, and therefore I don't do it at all. Well, the saints can't do it all either. They didn't get to be saints by doing it all. They got to be saints by running the race. Not the pagan race of perfection of my own, but the Christian race of repentance and return and movement toward God. That is a race we all can win, every single one of us. And in fact, it's assumed that we are members of the communion of saints, that we are doing that, to whatever degree. And we can't judge others because we don't know what's going on inside of them. They may be racing and running a lot harder than we are and look to us like they're not doing anything at all. St. Paul says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, a cloud of those who are witnesses to the fact that this life can be lived, to the fact that this race can be won. And the church is a kind of spiritual gymnasium, not the pagan kind of gymnasium, where we run and win for ourselves and win the glory for ourselves, but the Christian kind of spiritual gymnasium, where we participate in the labors of God Himself, where we participate in the already accomplished and already won race that Jesus Christ ran and won. He lived His life. He suffered as He did. He died on the cross and ascended to sit on the right hand of God, and that's when He sat down. That's when the race was won. And that's when we should sit down. That's when St. Paul sat down. At the end of his life, he said, "I have been faithful. I have finished the race." He didn't say, "I have won the race," because it is Christ God who wins the race. All we have to do is finish. Remain faithful. And I say these words partly to encourage all of us who are confronted by the fact that in spite of the fact that Pascha is fresh in our memory, tomorrow is the first day of the fast of the apostles. Now, it is a gentle fast, more so than Great Lent, let's say, which we've already shown that we can accomplish, more like the fast before the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, if our model is either you fast perfectly or you're not doing it, then you're going to have trouble. So let's do the other model. The model that means that we are participating in the reality of the way saints themselves live life. Dealing with the particular situation at hand and making our choice as to what to do on the basis of that reality, so long as we are moving in the right direction and not in the wrong direction. So long as we are repenting and moving deeper into the life in Christ and not further away by justifying a rejection of the whole business as a bad deal and too much of an imposition on our desire to, after all, be in charge of our own life and call the shots and restrict our religious life to over there where it doesn't get in the way. Now, if that's what we're doing, we've got a problem. But the other is actually much easier. Much easier. So let us take upon ourselves the example of the saints. Actually, the real saints and how they actually live. We can live that life. It is a matter of choice that has to do with repentance. It's not a matter of choice that has to do with calling upon us to act as God. That's exactly what we're not supposed to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy